Hello, welcome to Every Woman. This is Marvita Oliver. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. And welcome. We're so glad to have you back listening in, sharing some good news and great events that are happening in our community today. Today I have two leaders from our community. One is a leader who graduated from Hampton University. She joined the New Teacher Project in Louisiana and taught middle school there. And it was there where she developed an all-girls mentoring program that focused on mindfulness, college preparation, and community service. The reason why she's here today is because she's just joined a new academy that has been making some noise here in Kansas City. But the name of that academy is Kansas City Girls Preparatory Academy, and it is a new school that will start with 100 fifth graders, and each year they'll add a grade, and they will prepare these young ladies to go to college preparatory, or to college. All right, and the name of our guest is Ms. Tara Haskins. Tara, I want to welcome you to the show and to Kansas City, because Tara's also recently moved here.
Yes, thank you, Marvita. I'm so excited to be here today.
Well, we are excited to have you. It's been a roller coaster ride getting everybody here today, but we're glad to have you here. We have another guest. I'm going to leave everybody in suspense, but she and Tara have things in common, and that's they love girls, as far as they really do believe in girl and woman power, and they're doing something about it. So I'd like to start the interview today, Tara, with can you tell us a little about how you got involved with having such a focus on women empowerment?
Like you said earlier, when I started teaching in Shreveport, Louisiana, very honored to be in that community, I had realized that it was my girls that wouldn't make the best decisions. But I noticed a lot of looping back would focus on the boys, and the girls would make these poor choices, but no one would give them that same attention as they gave young men. And I just developing this mentoring program in the school, it was just exposing them to things. I've always believed our young women cannot be what they do not see. So just asking them, what are your hopes and dreams? Okay, let's go meet women who are doing that now in your community. Let's sit down and ask them, how did you get here? And really helping them discover what's special about them, whether that be going to college, which was always what I would show the young women, because my HBCU, you mentioned Hampton University, it changed my life. So just showing them choices that they have in life. Like, these are your choices. Don't be limited. And I just became very passionate. And watching a young girl develop into a young woman and watching her discover her voice is one of the most magical things, and I'm really honored that I've had the ability to do.
You said something about the girls would show attention. I'm not sure if I caught you. The girls would show attention to the boys, or the people would show attention to the boys?
No, ma'am. Like, if they made a poor choice in school, I noticed people would focus, like, our young men need this, our young men need that. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking around like, our young women need that too. Our young women need that encouragement. Right. They need to know that their community is surrounding them. They need to know the options as well. And at the time, I didn't see as many resources in the school that I was serving that was the same as the resources provided to young men.
Do you believe that's changing at all in schools and other organizations? Are they focusing more attention on young women?
I think it is changing. Personally, I think people, when they're looking at things, are looking at things with a more equitable lens and taking a step back and asking the question, what do we need to do what's best for all children? So I do see that it's improving since my time in the classroom.
Okay. Well, one thing that I wanted to know was, now that you're involved with the Kansas City Girls Preparatory Academy, how did that all happen? How did you get approached? You're in Texas. This is Kansas. I mean, this to me, that really shows a lot of forethought if we're going outside and really making a nationwide search. So how were you approached to join the academy?
A colleague of mine said, I was an assistant principal at the time, and a colleague of mine said, I heard about this amazing school. They're looking for a school leader. And so I looked on the link, and I said, okay, this is interesting, and I'm really big on making decisions but knowing my why behind it. And I read the charter application, and what I love most is first that they address the segregation that was existing in the city. I had never seen a school that directly addressed that in their charter application. But most importantly, that in there they said that they're going to prioritize academics and emotional learning for our young women. Sometimes it's one or the other, right? Mm-hmm. But I know our young women deserve both. Mm-hmm. They deserve guidance on what it's like navigating adolescence while still pushing towards their best academic achievement.
You mentioned guidance, navigating being an adolescent. What type of guidance do you mean?
Just in the stage for young women, that stage, they're changing so much, and these are the changes that you're going through. It's okay to feel this way first. Mm-hmm. It's okay to feel what you're feeling. Here's how to express it.
So I'm going to play dumb, but when you're saying changes, you mean just physical changes, mental changes?
Not just physical, but mental. Their body is developing at like a quicker rate, so sometimes mm-hmm. Hormone levels are different. It's just changing mm-hmm. and helping our young women adapt to that.
Right. And I know when I was younger, I was like, what in the world is going on? And I didn't know anybody really addressing it. So you don't talk about this stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, they talked about it a little in an embarrassing sex education class. Mm-hmm. But after mm-hmm. that, you said, I know I don't want to talk about it now.
Yeah.
You know, but these days I see like there are, and then I think it was referred to even as coping skills. Mm-hmm. But they weren't really given. But these days, do you feel like your academy is going to be giving those students a coping skills that will help address the things that are happening with them?
Mm-hmm. One special thing about our model is we're going to have advisory in our day. So imagine a little family within the school. You have one advisor and a group of about 20 girls, and you're together the entire year. Mm-hmm. And you're learning, I like to say, these life lessons together. Here's how you handle how to organize things. Here's how you handle stress. But also building community within that advisory. You all are discussing the tough things that you're going through, but most importantly, you're celebrating each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing we have to focus on as young women, celebrating our accomplishments together.
Okay, well, I think that's a great lead-in to help me introduce our next guest. Because when you're talking about celebrating each other, that's something that happened this past weekend down at 18th and Vine area in some of the buildings there. Our next guest, she was described as a rising star in Kansas City, a versatile business leader with a unique blend of customer service and operations experience. She received her Bachelor of Science degree from Park University, and she was a manager. She's helped do things in investing. She's got a really long bio. And I'm not going to read the rest of it, but one thing I want you to know that she's doing, she's been a volunteer at the W.B. Du Bois Learning Center since 1999. She's wearing her T-shirt proudly today. And I met Miss Terry Barnes last Saturday. Was it?
Last Saturday.
Yeah, last uh-huh. Saturday at an event called Black Women Get Fit, BWGF. And I came in, I won't say I stumbled in, but I will say I walked into a building on the corner of 18th and Vine. That was the
Bayou on the Vine.
Bayou on the Vine had loaned out his building just after.
And the women took over.
Yeah, I think she called him that morning, and he said, okay, you can have the building. But he loaned out his building. We got there. Registered for the event, and it was about 300, I would say most black women. And what we did was before we did anything, we got in the room, started chit-chatting with each other, had some coffee, and finally Miss Terry Barnes came to the stage. Miss Barnes, can you please tell us how in the world did you think about making this event happen, and what was the goal that you had in mind?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me here. And I'm tickled pink because I'm sitting next to Miss Hoskins. We have been looking forward to meeting you, the community. We're very excited about the girls' program, and when you were announced several months ago, I think now, I think we've all been excited and looking forward to you and what the school will do for girls in the community. But this event, the Black Women Get Fit event, came about, it was just a random idea. There's a national organization called Girl Track, and it is an organization attempting to get 1 million black women walking by 2020. That organization had planned to come to Kansas City November 6th. Now, this was back in June that I found out about this. They were going to come to Kansas City back in June, and the young lady that I was walking with, who is on my flyer, said that we hadn't gotten a lot of engagement from Kansas City. And I said, well, there's no way this national organization can come to Kansas City and we not show up. We need to think of something to do to share the information to get women to come out. And while we were on our walk, we came up with this idea. We said, well, let's have a women's event. Let's have a workout day where we introduce lots of different exercises that women may not be familiar with, because we all know about aerobics. But you've got Tai Chi and yoga and line dancing, and you've got all these other types of exercise that women may not be familiar with. Let's introduce them to that. And before the walk was over, we came up with this idea. And we decided we would do it like a pub crawl, and we would have all of these events in close proximity. You would finish one, and you would walk to another one. And before the walk was over, the general idea was framed. I went home, and I called two or three people that I knew. They all said yes, and we started planning this event.
Well, here we go. So right next to me, I have two prominent leaders in our community who are going to be affecting the lifestyle of women and young girls. And that's what I want you to stay tuned to as you listen, as you continue listening to Every Woman here on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. Okay, so what we're going to be doing, I think, is continuing the ultimate day party that was started by Black Women Get Fit. I was just sitting here smiling as I listened to Terry and Tara talking to each other. Oh, my goodness, that's a lot of teeth. Mm-hmm. But talking with each other, because you can tell there's a natural attraction for the work that they do, and I think that's great, and that's really why I wanted to get them in the same room together. I felt that they would have a lot to share with each other. So wanted to just ask you one more thing, just to get a little bit more information about our Black Women Get Fit program. Thank you. Okay, you talked about some of the types of things. I know I got a letter, an email saying, you know, do you want to sign up for this thing? And I was like, huh? But then I saw what you were offering. You were offering Tai Chi. You were offering yoga. You were offering aerobics. And, you know, I had been looking for an aerobics place. Mm-hmm. And so I said, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then when we got there and we went to each of the class, the first class for me was a Zumba class. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. First thing in the morning, 9 o'clock. And I said, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And, you know, that class was so well taught. That was the thing that I thought made it also work. Besides your own desire and the energy that you put in, we started off with a prayer. And just if you could say a little bit of just about what you wanted to see happen. Mm-hmm. But everything was just very well done.
Well, you know, Black women get such a bad rap. And you hear stories, and you there's so many challenges going on, and there's so much attention to the challenges and the problems. And I think Tara said it earlier, we don't celebrate each other. So when we start, when we decided to do this event, we kind of took a spin on the whole idea of the ultimate day party, because you see all these invitations to come to these day parties, and most of them are just fun, and, you know, it's just fun time. But we wanted to have a purpose behind it, so we put a spin on it, and we wanted to introduce women to something that they may not get just in their traditional exercise experience. So we reached out to experts. These are women who this is what they do. We found the best that we could in Kansas City, and we asked if they would be willing to donate their time and services just to introduce this to women. The purpose of the whole event was just to have a really good time, fellowshipping with one another and introducing them to exercise, because we all have these isms around health and all these other issues, and we just wanted people to have a good time. It was important to us that it looked good, and I hope you felt the experience that it was well organized. We stayed on time. We moved people from one thing to another, and we were just very intentional about being supportive and really encouraging each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the goal of the event. And I have to tell you, several women told me several things about the event, but people would say things like, "I had no idea there was a swimming pool in Gregg Center."
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. now I want to start swimming, or mm-hmm. I had no idea. I never thought about Tai Chi. I didn't know anybody black taught Tai Chi.
Mm-hmm.
I love that class.
Yeah.
We had 50 women sign up for swimming, and originally we weren't even going to offer swimming mm-hmm. because we heard all these stories about, well, you know, black women don't want to get their hair wet. It's going to be October. It's going to be cold.
Uh-huh.
Nobody's going to swim and do this and that. All these things. We had 50 women signed up for water aerobics. So it just it really showed that there is an interest and there's a need and that there's a demand for these kinds of things in our community. They just have to be offered in a way that's appealing and attractive and accessible to women.
And quite frankly, that's why I wanted you both here, because in my mind, Kansas City Girls Preparatory Academy, or KCGPA, I think that has a nice ring to it, KCGPA. and then the Black Women Get Fit opportunity just kind of came in, you know. There was a similarity in spirit that I saw in both, and that is there's a lot of energy that has gone into planning KCGPA, and that's when I found out about this school more than a year ago. And I've been involved in some of the planning events that have brought people in from the community to talk about how they want to make a different school. Can you talk about some of those events? I know you weren't there for all of them, mm-hmm. but I do know that you know what was happening in them.
There were some community design collaboratives where we brought in people who basically, what do you want your school to look like? What are things that you like about learning for children in the community? What are things that you wish could improve on? And really gaining the knowledge from the community, because we do want a community school. We know that the answers are in the community. Mm-hmm. We want community members, parents in the building. I think that's important for our young women to see, because they see that they're surrounded by love, and everyone in this space, they're encouraging them to become their best selves, because in our minds, our young women have gifts, and as they discover their gifts, they're going to bring those gifts back to their community, and that's going to keep it progressing forward.
That's true. Can you talk about some of the... I know I went to one of the event. Well, I went to two. I went to two. And I know what I was a little surprised. They said, well, what are some of the things that we can do that you think is necessary to help our children develop? And we spent time talking about mindfulness types of activities. You know, they should be able to be taught coping skills. You know, they should be able to be taught how to respond if this happens or if that happens. How do you decide that's what you're going to do? How do you decide to even make it happen? How do you train a staff for that?
So training a staff, in my experience, it's finding individuals with the right mindset.
Mm-hmm.
If you genuinely love the mission and vision of the school, you're willing to push yourself to become your best self for the children. But it's one thing having professional development, not just once a month, but every Friday on academics as well as the social-emotional part. Mm-hmm. As an instructor, you need that part too if we want our girls to grow in it. But also we're putting a lot of time into developing our teachers. We know that the more that our teachers are growing, then the more that our students will grow. So with our extended school day, we'll have that time to develop our teachers so that our students can grow as well.
And is there anything that, can you describe what a year, what, can you describe the program for people so that they can know about this school, and if they go online, they can check it out more?
Mm-hmm. So they can go online to kcgpa.org and just look at some of our open positions that we have for staff, but also throughout the year, we'll have some summer professional learning where it's not just learning about the school, but you're going to get out and meet our parents, meet our students, so that when you're planning for them on the first day, you have names and pictures in your mind on who you're planning for. Mm-hmm. That's a strong part of our summer learning, but we're still defining the final parts of learning for our teachers.
How many staff do you plan to have?
Six teachers.
Okay, yeah. And wow. So once again, that's for 50.
That's for us.
100
students. We'll have a few classes with two individuals in there, so that students can get that small group instruction.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a staff as well, as far as administrative staff.
So our administrative staff, we plan to have a dean of culture that will focus on building our positive culture for our school, as well as a director of student support. So making sure that all students are learning. And also looking for a social worker and an office manager as well.
Okay. Well, I think that if people want to find out more about Kansas City Girls Preparatory Academy, they can go online to kcpga.org.
KCGPA.
GPA, I'm sorry, GPA.org. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's going to be ongoing that website is there.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, when do you guys start your classes?
August 2019.
August of 2019.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
That's awesome.
That's 1 year from now.
That's less than a year. It's a couple of months. It's becoming more real whenever we're on a new month. I'm like, oh, one less month until children come.
And I just read you just got your building.
There we go.
I saw that in the paper.
We did just get our building. We're very excited at this opportunity. We're going to be housed in where Hogan Elementary currently is. Hogan Elementary is going to be shifting closer to their middle school and high school. So I know families are winning. They're benefiting from this. Families mm-hmm. who had kids in the elementary mm-hmm. school at Hogan can now be closer mm-hmm. to the middle and high school, and we're right in the middle of where we want to be for where the community deserves.
And where is that located?
I just wrote it down. It is located near Van Burt.
Van Brunt.
Van Brunt.
Van Brunt.
Yeah,
thank
not
you.
From
I'm
here.
So. I am. Let me tell you. I am learning the street names.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Van Brunt and Independence. Is
yeah,
that right?
5000 East 17th.
Okay, so I know there was a intense search. There's been for this. Organization just seems to be about intense searches.
But I appreciate how everything is intentional, uh-huh. mm-hmm. even down to hiring or mm-hmm. location. We couldn't just be in any building. No, we have to be a space where our families can access it, mm-hmm. where they can quickly get there, because, again, a community school, but also that we're serving children who we want to serve and also who we feel there's a need, higher need.
Exactly. Is that building close to the W.B. Du Bois Center?
It's not very far.
Yeah.
It's not very far. I don't know exactly where it is, but I think it's near East High School. I think it's in that area.
It is in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes,
and I mean, you guys have a lot of history mm-hmm. about finding the right building
yeah.
and the types of activities that go on in the W.E.B. Du Bois Center. Can you mm-hmm. talk a little bit mm-hmm. more about that?
Mm-hmm. So the W.E.B. Du Bois Learning Center is a it's 45 years old, and it's a tutoring program at its simplest. We tutor kids first grade through 12th grade in math, science, reading, and technology, and we provide some adult training in Cisco networking. We launched a community radio station about 2 years ago, KUAW 98.5 FM, Knowledge, Understanding, and Wisdom. And it's a 100% volunteer program. So I have been a volunteer there for 19 years, the reason I am dressed this way is every Saturday morning from 10 to 12, we do math. And mm-hmm. from 12:30 to 2, we do coding and Lego and Vex Robotics.
Oh, wow. Exciting.
Yeah, so it's something going on all the time. And we purchased one of Kansas City, Missouri's closed public schools. Mm-hmm. It used to be Milton Moore Elementary, and now it's the W.E.B. Du Bois Learning Center.
Yes. Okay, and that's one. Because you're doing a tutoring type of program, how have you found your numbers and what kind of impact are you having?
Yeah, you know, we have a significant impact. It was funny, just today we had a parent who came in who used to be a student,
mm.
and she's bringing her freshman and her sixth grader back for classes.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a mom who's in her 50s, I would guess, and she's bringing her children back, and she used to be a student years ago,
mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of that. And the kids just need help. I was listening to Tara speak earlier about the teachers, and one of the things we know is we've got to figure out a way to get good people in front of our kids.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about the skills that you look for, I think sometimes we get caught up in the credentials mm-hmm. of the person instead of finding out whether or not you have good people. Because if you have a good person who's passionate about young people and passionate about education, the relationship is going to click.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell our parents all day long, I'm sorry, Tara, if this is something that goes against the grain. We tell our parents all day long, if your children don't like their teacher, and I don't mean stuff that we can navigate, you know, mm-hmm. we understand our kids, but if our children, if you don't like your teacher and you feel like your teacher doesn't like you, parents, you better be intervening, because it's very difficult for somebody to learn from somebody that they think they don't like them.
It's true.
And so we really encourage our parents to get active and engaged with their young people and know what's going on in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, teachers are not the teachers that we remember back when we were coming through. We had teachers that were absolute, and they were considered stern, but we all learned, we were all educated, and those people loved us. We believed they loved us,
mm-hmm.
even if they were hard.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays I don't know what is going on, but there's something going on with
mm-hmm.
the people who are touching our children every single day
mm-hmm.
because something's not happening.
Okay. All right. Is that something that resonates with you?
It kind of does. I was a firm teacher
mm-hmm.
when I was in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing a student always told me, Ms. Haskins, we know you're going to tell us right from wrong. And we know we're going to get a consequence when we leave your classroom.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know you love us.
That's
and
the difference.
That's the part.
That
children
the
have to know that I'm doing this because I love you,
mm-hmm.
because I care. But that mm-hmm. happens with trust, building trust with your students, and your mm-hmm. students trust you, but you trust your students. And that's the adults. We're adults, right? But and our kids are kids, but our kids are still people.
Right.
And that's something we always have to remember in this mm-hmm. work.
That's really critical. How do you build trust?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you can talk about as far as giving an example, perhaps?
Yes. In my last school, before I was an assistant principal, I was a dean of restorative justice and culture. Long story short, we noticed that in an all-girls school, there was still an inequity in our suspension practices.
Mm-hmm.
So we piloted using restorative circles.
What was the equity? Was it towards girls?
It was all girls in all girls school. However, though our African American population was 30%, they represented 75% of our school suspensions.
Okay, thank you.
So when we saw those numbers, we knew something had to change because we, as a school, weren't honoring the commitment we made.
Mm-hmm.
So by implementing restorative circles, that allowed students to just build trust within their community, but also their teachers. And we plan to bring a model similar to that to KC Girls Prep. Using that advisory time, we're going to have community circles where we're learning about each other, but also sharing what's special about our identity with our community. And that's going to build trust, because you'll be surprised how many things our girls have in common and our teachers have in common with our girls, but we don't necessarily always provide a space and environment for that conversation to happen.
Mm-hmm. Is that something, so that worked well in your previous school then?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And as far as trust going the other way, mm-hmm. you know, from the teacher is really, teachers are very undervalued in my mm-hmm. mind.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do to help a teacher feel comfortable when they may feel like it's coming at them?
Mm-hmm. Our teachers are the most important role.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just the school leader. Our teachers are the most important role in this work. And that's just myself modeling that vulnerability, but also offering a safe space for our teachers to have that same communication with each other and even with our students. If a teacher's having a difficult conversation, them to say, hey, Ms. Haskins, or they have someone in their building they trust, I'm having difficulty with this conversation with a student. Can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
Asking for help and also showing that we ask for help in this building.
Yeah.
That's perfectly fine. As women, we feel that we can't ask for help, but that we're super women. And
mm-hmm.
if we ask for help, we're weak. And it's like, no, because you're strong, you're asking for help. You realize what you need assistance with, and you're leaning on your community
mm-hmm.
to help you.
Okay. So you're saying to this teacher who's a grown adult, then she's having an issue with this younger adult, that you can talk about this and not feel like, what's up with you? I mean, I think sometimes a person might feel like, what am I doing wrong? Mm. You know, so how do you work past that? Is that something, anybody can talk about this, how do you work past that? Is that something that, how do you address when you're just trying to, you know, make sure you fit in, make sure you're giving your all?
I think the environment has a lot to do with that. You have to create an environment where people see that adults can have these types of conversations and there's not a negative repercussion, mm-hmm. because that builds the trust. So if young people and teachers or administrators are in an environment where they are exchanging and they're debating healthy mm-hmm. debates and they're saying, well, this is how I feel, students see that and they recognize and they go, well, wow, Miss Terry was able to tell Miss Tara that, and they had the conversation, and I saw them eating lunch later
right.
in the day. And it's creating an environment mm-hmm. where that can happen, because just like you have an environment where it can happen, you're also going to recognize if it's an environment where it's not safe mm-hmm. to do that. If there's a repercussion or if something falls out mm-hmm. as a result of that, people see that
right.
and they won't try it, or they will be less likely to try it mm-hmm. Going forward. So I think that that's really important, to create a space mm-hmm. and an environment. And sometimes you may have to teach people how to do that.
Yes.
Because oftentimes we don't know how mm-hmm. to communicate.
Everybody's shaking their head. Everybody's not, we got a nod yeah. thing going on in here.
We don't know how to communicate and develop relationship in that way, so it might be taught. Mm-hmm. But that's still a safe way that you're being taught, and that exchange is being carefully managed mm-hmm. so that you see something healthy right. and you don't see something damaging.
Yes, it's true. Yeah. I mean, it's. I think for anybody, it's worth going through an exercise, as long as you feel like something good is going to happen at the other end of it, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to let you guys know I am being totally overwhelmed by the T women. I got Terry, Tara, and just now we've been joined by Tracy.
Tracy Warren.
She's part of the planning committee for Black Women Get Fit. And It's not a bad thing. I don't mind. My brother has a T in his name. So somehow. Okay, so Tracy, can you? We've been talking here. We've been bonding with women who care about what happens to empowering women, giving young girls coping skills. Can you tell us what part did you have in the creation of the Black Women Get Fit? We heard a little bit about it, but it'd be good to hear from another person's point of view as well.
And she's an educator.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm a principal.
All right.
So from the beginning, Terry and I have worked, 15 years together with our own nonprofit. And as we move forward, we consistently come together and talk about what can we do differently for our young ladies and our young women, because we also noticed how there's a need for young women to have a voice because of the things that they've seen, that they've encountered. They've come to us on many occasions calling, those who have been with us in our mentoring group for years ago, come up and call and say, hey, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. So it's giving them
platform. Can I ask what kind of this and that you
okay,
mean?
I yeah. apologize.
That's all right.
So I'm dealing with a boyfriend. I'm dealing with a significant other. I'm having issues with a teacher. You know, I'm in college, and I've been faced with these certain situations. I was approached in this manner by this particular male. I'm not sure what direction I want to go, spirituality, relationships, parents, mm-hmm. the lack thereof, and those that are in their lives but not really in their life. So different, I mean, variables of every avenue of what they've encountered, coming from a elementary level all the way up to being a young adult. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about a level from A to Z of all the, all the questions they have as far as life is concerned.
Okay.
And it's giving them a voice as well as giving them a listening ear without having judgment.
And you said you were a principal before?
Former assistant principal for 19 years.
You guys have a lot in common.
Yes.
Where were you assistant principal?
Oh, goodness. Derek Thomas, De La Salle, and Hogan Middle.
Wow, well, hey, this is just an education retreat. Mm-hmm. And also, you mentioned that you and Miss Terry have a nonprofit together. What's the name of that nonprofit?
It was Tracy's Place.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what that was about. All right.
Yes.
And so Tracy's Place was that place for the young women and girls to come and talk about these things.
And our flagship program is My Sister's Keeper. Mm-hmm. So we just had a platform for young ladies and young girls to come and speak.
Mm.
It was interesting when we would have all these meetings and conversations, the parents would chime in, and we would have to tell the parents, no, this is their time, and we actually had to stop having parents in the sessions because they would take over the conversation because they were interested and were having the lack thereof. So based on what you all were talking about as far as building those relationships, especially when it comes to teachers,
mm-hmm.
I can honestly say for myself, when you have that trust and when teachers know that they can come to you and that trust has been built, that relationship has been built,
mm-hmm.
then they know they have someplace safe to come and talk. And then that oozes out, for lack of a better term,
mm-hmm.
unto the children, because now they're seeing you have conversations with the staff behind doors, and the staff is coming out with a different attitude
right.
based on what has taken place prior to.
Exactly.
And so when you build that relationship and you build that environment where trust can be, trust is there, and they know they have some place safe to go to, then that's when the relationship of the students have been built. And then they're coming to you, doesn't matter what the situation is,
right.
doesn't matter what home looks like, they're going to come to the school, and then they're going to talk to that teacher, that administrator, and know that they can come to them no matter what the situation is and have those conversations, knowing that they can come and they're not going to be judged based on what the situation is.
That's great. I think that's really great. And just hearing that, I'm really encouraged about, you know, what's happening here in this room.
That's
but
why
also,
we're all excited about you.
Yeah, exactly. What's going to happen
because,
at KCGPA?
You know, I was just telling her, I felt like I'm so lucky to be here today because you're like a rock star.
Yeah.
You know? Our program has ended. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about how in Kansas City there's not another organization that's committed mm-hmm. to working with young girls and young women. We have lots of programs here and there. Different people have events once a year, but there's not an ongoing, consistent opportunity for kids to get girls in particular to get that kind of support. So when they started talking about this school, I mean, it's just resonated with everybody. Not that it will be just, we'll put it all on your shoulders, but we are very excited
yes.
about you being here.
I'm excited to be here. I'm learning so much. Every time I go out, I'm learning something about this amazing city and the rich history of the area that our school will serve. So hearing about the program that you all have, like, yes, a program like this has happened. What can we learn? What can we build on things mm-hmm. that you've all already done
yeah.
so that we can keep moving forward for our young women on the Northeast side?
Yeah.
Yes.
What are the types of things you've been hearing about KCGPA?
You know, I've not heard a lot other than the fact that everything has been very intentional. We've heard that they were, well, not that we've heard, we know that they've taken this slowly. It's, mm-hmm. it's been over 2 or 3 years, I think, in the planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that over the past year, I've seen different invitations to the community to come in and help share feedback on what we like to see or what issues are, what concerns mm-hmm. there are. So it just feels to me like whoever is responsible for pulling this together, it's not something that's being thrown together. It's being done in a very thoughtful way with people in the community in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives me a lot of hope and inspiration. And then, of course, I read her article when they introduced the new principal and mm-hmm. had her article in the and had her story in the paper. I was like, okay, she seems pretty cool. She seems like she'd be a good leader.
All
so
right.
I think just kind of waiting to see how this all pulls together.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that you're starting with one group, I think that's a huge benefit.
One class. We're going to learn and grow together.
Yeah, we from a community perspective, I am in a space where I am so over the problems with education.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so over administrations coming up with program after program after program because our children, we don't have time for that.
Yeah.
You know, kids need it to happen very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm encouraged about is that it sounds like when the schools, when the doors open, they're going to hit the ground running. And if you get this group of fifth graders, if it sounds like it's not going to take that fifth grader to the ninth grade to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be aggressive. They're going to come in and they're going to move the needle very quickly.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the key. And the kind of momentum that every school needs, because our children don't have time to wait.
Yeah, it's true.
And unfortunately, our approach has been, we'll bring in a new superintendent, we'll bring in a new principal, we'll bring in a new program, we'll bring in a new this, we'll bring in a new that, and a kid could go to two or three levels and just be in the mess until they're figuring things out.
Okay, yeah, and there's already so much figuring out just in the home, and then to bring it in the school, it's like, oh my goodness. Ms. Tracy, so
yes,
as an assistant principal at another type of charter school, is De La Salle is a charter school, is
yes,
it not?
Yes, that was I was at De La Salle before they became a charter.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So I was just wanting to ask you, what is the significance of a charter school? And can you just help it? Us to get an understanding of the charter school
concept,
yeah.
Brought about because of different cities, the schools within the city were not credited and having challenges, and so a lot of the parents were not able to pay for private schooling. And so the concept was giving the parents another opportunity, another option that they can send their children to as far as education was concerned, and not having to be locked in to a school system that was not producing the manner that it was supposed to produce.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the concept for the most part.
Okay. And I noticed that Kansas City has had its share of charter schools. How have they performed in the community, and how has the community accepted them?
From what I know, mm-hmm. and from what I hear, for those who are in the community and those that I have worked with side by side.
So they have failed.
Oh.
Yes. And I can say that because I am not an educator. I am not an administrator. I am a concerned parent who had a child graduate from Kansas City Public Schools. I graduated from Kansas City Public Schools. And I am at the Du Bois Learning Center. So we see the children who are coming in from districts all over, including charter schools.
Yes.
From all over this community, from as far as Lansing, Kansas, Blue Springs, Overland mm-hmm. Park, all coming for tutoring.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So something is not happening
mm-hmm.
in the schools, and unfortunately, parents want the best for their children. So if somebody shows up with a bright, shiny marketing campaign and they tell you that they're going to have this wonderful school and it's going to have all this nice stuff in it and we're going to do this and we're going to do this, parents are moving to that because they want their kids to have a shot.
Right.
And unfortunately, a lot of the charter schools that have come have done that, and they haven't produced, they haven't done any better than some of the schools that exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I would venture to say, because it's still around people and teachers and
right.
still administrators and
mm-hmm.
how you do things, and if you're not going to change, and I mean change it,
right.
destroy it and turn it over,
uh-huh.
you're going to see some of the same results. And
mm-hmm.
so again, I keep looking over at Miss Tara because they really are talking about doing something very different,
mm-hmm.
even in her conversation that they're going to have parents at the table, how they brought in community and how they're going to have advisory. They're already talking about doing things significantly different. So
mm-hmm.
I have so much hope that that will get off to a really solid start and foundation.
Mm-hmm. And we have to, and Terry's right. I mean, mm-hmm. not just the charter, but the school system, period. And not just in Kansas City, across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we have failed our children in many ways for several generations, and it has to cease. We have to do something differently. And unfortunately, we don't have time to work with. Our backs are against the wall, and we need to do something differently quickly because we can't fail another generation.
It's true. You know, and even we talk about our generations of students that have come and the ones that have gone and then the ones that are yet to come. There's so much changing in our society, just even the way college is looked at.
Yes.
You know, it's not automatic that if you go to college, you're going to benefit from even that education.
No,
you know, so
all.
I know sometimes I'm not able to say you should go to college.
And everybody's not cut off for college. College isn't for everyone.
And when you think about that bill, it's like, wait a minute. You
right.
know?
Exactly.
So, wait a minute. So will you guys address that challenge? You know, the challenge of being able to create a student who when she leaves your academy as a high school student, mm-hmm. that she will be able to make a decision about college or trade school or being an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. those types of things.
I think in developing her critical lens, as a young woman, are you asking what is best for me?
Right.
And what that goes is, you know who you are. You know your identity as a young woman growing up in Kansas City, and you know what you want to do, developing that within the school. I think saying you have to go to college, that's not developing a child's identity.
Mm-hmm.
That's putting one on them, creating a narrative for them, mm-hmm. instead of allowing them the space to create their own story. Mm-hmm. So when she leaves our school, she will be prepared for college.
Mm-hmm.
That is our commitment to parents, and that is our commitment to those students. You will be prepared to go to college if that's what you choose. If you want to go to the military, that's what you choose. If you want to learn a trade, that's what you choose. But at the end of the day, she can say, this is my choice because of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that is our ultimate goal when our students leave our space.
Okay. Well, ladies, do you have any other questions for Ms. Tara or for each other as far as some of the things that are finding out more about Kansas City and their organizations, like, for example, the Du Bois Learning Center?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do have a question for Tara. One of the concerns nationally, it's not even a local issue, particularly with African American children. There was a study, and I think the study was done at Harvard, and it talked about the importance of having an African American teacher with that student. I think by fourth grade, mm-hmm. and their chances of successfully graduating goes up 40%. One of the frustrations that I always had as a parent is it seems that we know all of these things, but it seems like we are not able to respond to them. So if I think about Kansas City Public School District, and if I know that just by having an African-American teacher, mm-hmm. the odds of this kid's graduation goes up 40%, mm-hmm. I am thinking, why isn't Mr. Bedell going out here recruiting some African-American teachers for every single school that's in the district? So that just seems like a simple answer to me.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about the response to those types of facts that we know, what works in educating underserved children, underserved communities? It seems like we know what we need to do,
mm-hmm.
but it seems like we just can't flip the trigger and do those things. We keep doing the same old things over and over and over again.
I can speak to what we plan to do for our hiring practices.
Mm-hmm.
It's what are competencies that our kids deserve in a teacher? Do they have a growth mindset? Are they receptive to feedback? Do they lead with their heart? Do they, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But also understanding that having a diverse staff, not just in ethnicity or race, but also experiences, is important. And every part of the hiring process, we take a step back, we look at our pool, and we say, let's look at the numbers. How many people are still in our hiring process? What do we take, and we say, what do we need to do differently right now? What areas aren't we going to? What organizations can we connect to because we're missing something? So us always, as an organization, taking a step back and being willing to look at what our practices and seeing is it honoring our commitment to what we said we will have for staff for our children.
Mm-hmm. When you go out into the community, you say you're learning so much more about Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Is there anything in particular that says this is Kansas City to you when you go out and you go around town or meet our people?
Mm-hmm.
What is it about Kansas City that says, oh, that's Kansas City?
So I'm going to close my eyes because I'm thinking of, like, where I've gone.
Okay.
So what's made it wonderful for me is I've come in contact with some organizations, just meeting organizations in the community, and mm-hmm. I've learned that if you honor children, the community loves you.
Oh.
That is what I've gathered. If you mm-hmm. do right by children, people love you.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me very happy. But also, this is my first time living in a community where schools come together. There's a common application for charter schools
mm-hmm.
with School App KC.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen that, mm-hmm. and I've only worked in charter schools. So that shows me you all understand that you're doing what's best for families,
mm-hmm.
and you all are willing to unite for children. So that's that alone I've learned about. And also I've visited the Negro League Museum a couple of times. But the fact that you all have that museum was really exciting for me. So I'm still learning the rich history and willing, anyone who's willing to talk, I'm like always writing down. So.
Okay. Well, that's great to hear. Got a plug for the Negro League. So, ladies, Ms. Tracy, did you have anything else you feel like needs to be said about helping to empower women or more, or maybe some of what you are going to be working on in the future?
Blessings and prayer to what you're getting ready to dive into, because they need a listening ear. They need to know they're not being judged. And they need to know that someone is going to be there for them. And whatever we can do, however we can assist, please don't hesitate to let us know.
Thank you.
And Ms. Terry, how about you?
I've got some things percolating.
Okay.
I've got some ideas percolating. And hopefully I'll be ready to make an announcement about something with girls and women in this community in the before the end of the year.
All right. Well, I am so happy and blessed to have been here today. So much gratitude I have for our production staff, Una and Fiona Noling. They held it down for me today. And then our really great guests we had, Ms. Terry Barnes, Ms. Tracy Warren, and Ms. Tara Haskins. Thank you all so much for joining us today. Thank you for the work that you're going to be doing, Tara, with KCGPA. And Tracy and Terry, thank you also for the work you guys did with Women Get Fit, Black Women Get Fit. And that's it for today on Every Woman. You're listening to Every Woman on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.